It is Friday, October 9th. This is the Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn, and you are riding straight home with me at a reasonable hour on a Friday. I just realized as I pulled out of the parking space at work that Brother William has not yet sent me his Alabama pick, and it's Alabama pick day, so he's supposed to text me. I just called him. He's supposed to text me the pick any time now. So Brother William is on the hot seat. I have a full show for you today. Oh, and let me apologize. Somebody emailed me today and said I double uploaded a show. Like I uploaded the same file into two different episodes. So if I did that, I'm sorry, and I'll get home and I'll fix it if I can. I hope I didn't already delete the audio that I meant to upload. And hopefully tonight it's Friday. You know, sometimes I don't upload the Friday show until Saturday, which kind of defeats the point of the Alabama pick, because sometimes the Alabama pick has already happened. But I think I'll get to it tonight. No big plans. Might take a walk in the neighborhood with the dogs and kids. I hope you enjoy your weekend as well. I hope it doesn't rain on you. It looks like it might rain on me. So I have a full show for you today, and I had to call an audible. Today's show topic was going to be Jesus in the present tense, but I'm going to bump it for a current event, a current news item, and that's going to be COVID at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and I'll just shorten that show title to COVID at Bethel. COVID at Bethel. I have a question in the inbox about keeping oneself unstained by the world. That text from James. Oh, hold on. I've got some nifty driving here to merge in between this tractor trailer and this Honda. I don't even know what. There's no such color as mint blue. But if there was, it would be this Honda Civic in front of me. It's a hybrid. And he's going 50. This guy's just traveled along going 50. And now I'm stuck behind him. It's a heavy traffic day. And I promise I'll get to the rest of the show as soon as I'm able to merge into the acceptable lane. As I was saying, I have a question in the inbox about the book of James, specifically that text. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. Today we continue in Mark chapter 6. I'm getting over. Don't crowd me, Chevy truck. We're in Mark chapter 6. This is Jesus sending out the 12. Jesus sending out the 12. So Jesus summoned the 12 to himself. This is after his experience in his own hometown. So now Jesus is going out teaching in the villages, and he's sending his disciples out to do the same. These are the 12 who we have specifically named earlier in the Gospel of Mark. This, you know, Matthew, Andrew, Peter, Bartholomew. Yeah, I know all the Ten Commandments, but I don't know all the 12 disciples' names off the top of my head. So he's sending out the 12. He says he began to send them out in pairs. So I guess they're going out in six pairs. I feel sorry for the guy who went out with Judas. So he sent them out in pairs of, I was going to say pairs of two, but that's the only kind of pairs there are. Sets of two. So six sets of two. Jesus sends them out to preach the gospel of repentance in the various towns in the area. And the Bible says here, Mark says here, that Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits. So we see earlier in the text, Jesus is casting out unclean spirits who are torturing people. And now Jesus is giving the authority to his disciples to do the same, to cast out unclean spirits. And notice it's authority. There's no special trick to it. It is permission, a level. Think of it like this. You have at your office the ability to purchase things at a certain level and no one has to approve it. Like at my office, I don't have any nobody has to approve it. If I want to buy something that costs $900, I can just buy it. Self-approval. But if it gets above that, somebody above me is going to have to approve it. And I set my own level, by the way. I could have set it at 50, but I was like, you know what? Let me just put a check to myself. There are different levels of authority. So anybody can just buy things. I'm going to submit a requisition. I'm submitting purchase orders. But only some people can just buy things without someone else's permission, without authority. So not just anyone can cast out demons. Only somebody who has authority over them can. Demons don't have to listen to you if they don't want to, but they have to listen to Jesus, and Jesus gave that same authority to his disciples to cast out unclean spirits. Unclean spirits are going to be the ones who get in their way when they go to preach the gospel in the towns. So it makes sense that they have the authority to cast them out. And just like Jesus said to the Gerasene demoniac, he said, go and tell people about what God has done for you and the mercy God's had on you. The people, the disciples free from demonic possession, will be able to do the same. Create somebody else who can be a witness. So the disciples now have the authority to cast out unclean spirits, and that authority is given to them by Jesus. And here is the instructions he gives them. It says, don't take anything with you. Don't take provisions for the journey. Just your shoes and your staff, what you need to walk. So he says, just take your staff, a mere staff, put your sandals on, but nothing else. You don't need to pack a bag. Don't bring any bread with you, and don't keep any money in your belt. Just your shoes and your staff. Because they're walking from town to town. That's what they need to keep going. Today, it would be like your car and the gas in it. You don't pack any food in the back. So, has anybody ever gone on a hiking trip before? I remember when I was, how old was I? 19, 20 years old. My friend and I decided we were going to hike a week on the Appalachian Trail. I sprained my ankle playing basketball a week before. I lasted all of 2 days. But we did it at the start in Springer Mountain, Georgia. So we had to get provisions. We went to REI. Does anybody ever go shopping at REI? I like that store, the outdoor store. We had backpacks, overnight backpacks. We got our tents. We didn't need to stay with anybody. We had our own tent to sleep in. We bought dehydrated food that you could put water in and cook, and it made all kinds of meals. And I think we had like chicken parmesan that we could cook, like these really elaborate meals. We had our own stove. Does anybody have one of those little tiny little stove that works off a tiny little gas tank, and you can make a fire anywhere with it? We had water tablets to purify the water. We didn't need anything from anybody. We had our own little tent to sleep in. We had our own food. We had some kind of power gel, which is like a Gatorade goop to keep us going. I would have died without it, I'm pretty sure. And we had our hiking boots and our waterproof jackets, and we were ready to go. Jesus told these guys to go walking out on a mission and said, don't pack anything. They had to be wholly dependent on the town to receive them, or someone in the town to receive them. And a lot of times, if you'll come across a Seventh-day Advent, not a Seventh-day Adventist, a Jehovah's Witness. Have you ever come across a Jehovah's Witness? They're always out, two by two. They're like Sith. There's a master and the apprentice, and there's always two, just like the Sith from Star Wars. And they'll say, yeah, we're the only ones who go out two by two, just like Jesus told us to. The Watchtower does it. Why don't you do it? And they're not the only ones. Tabernacle Baptist Church in town sends people out two by two to witness to people. Nevertheless, Jehovah's Witnesses will say to you, throughout the whole world, we go out two by two, just like Jesus said. And you know what? That shames most people that they're talking to, because most people don't go out and do this kind of evangelism. Most people, I have to say, if you believe the Barna studies, don't evangelize. By most people, I mean most Christians, most professing, pew-sitting Christians, do not evangelize anybody at all. And the ones who do, you know, I'm lifestyle witnessing to my sphere of influence. They're not out knocking on doors, walking around, standing on the street corner. And the Jehovah's Witness use that to shame people and make the Watchtower look better than their church. But when the Watchtower people say this to me, or say this to you, here's what you need to say. Do you have your wallet with you? I see you're wearing shoes. Good for you. Are you carrying a wallet? Is that your backpack that you keep your iPad in? Because they carry stuff with them. They carry a little pop-up bookstore. They give the books away. They used to sell them for like a nickel, but now they give the books away. So they carry up a little pop-up thing for their pamphlets and books. They carry an iPad. They have a little bag for their iPad. They use their iPad to switch between the King James and their own Watchtower Bible translation. They're very technical. And they use their iPad to put in their contacts, like we went to this house and we had a good experience, or we went to this house, don't go back to this house. So you can ask them, like, I see you have your wallet. Jesus told the disciples, don't even take your money bag with you. Because not only don't pack any provisions for the journey, a bag of clothes or a bag of food, don't even carry money that you could use to buy clothes and food. Rather be wholly dependent on the charity of the town you're in. And a lot of times you can ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, hey, isn't this your Kingdom Hall over here by Ingalls? Yeah, all right, you're not even out of town. You're 5 miles away from your house. Don't act like you're doing what the Bible tells you to do. Also, the Mormons send people out 2x2. I'm not going to get to them. Jesus instructed the people. He said, when you come into a town, or he instructed his disciples, when you come into a town, stay in one house until you leave. So get hospitality from that one house that accepts you. They're going to shelter you and feed you until you go. Those are the people you're staying with until you're done preaching in that town. And he says, any place that doesn't listen or receive you, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So you come into a town, you're preaching the gospel, you're preaching repentance of sin or from sin, and the people don't want to hear it. Turn and leave. And these people are walking around with sandals, right? They don't have paved roads like we do now. When you walk around in sandals, your feet are going to get dirty. I walk around in my Adidas soccer flops all the time. And even in my neighborhood, my feet get dirty doing it, because that's just how it is when you're walking around in sandals. He said, shake the dust off your feet. And that's a symbol, that's a testimony against them. We don't even want the dust of your town on our feet, our dirty old feet. We're shaking it off. We're leaving you. The testimony is, you heard the gospel, repentance was preached to you, and you would not accept us. You didn't receive us with hospitality, nor did you listen to our message. You and your town be damned. And Mark says that they went out and preached repentance, and they were casting out demons, anointing the sick with oil, and healing them. So now these people are healing and casting out demons, just like Jesus healed and cast out demons. And it says they're anointing with oil. This, you could argue, this is a mercy ministry. They didn't have any oil with them, which is interesting. They would have been having to get the oil in town. Remember, this is medical treatment in that day. There's no special power in the oil. Notice when Jesus was healing, he's not rubbing oil on people. A lot of times today, he's like, we got to anoint with oil. There's some denominations that still do this. We anoint for oil for healing, just like it says to do in James. And they think it's about the act of anointing with oil rather than giving the medical treatment. So these people were finding the sick. They were anointing them with oil, which is a temporal treatment for sickness. But they were also giving them a spiritual treatment for sickness, and not the forgiveness of sins, but what I'm saying, using divine power granted to them by Jesus, performing healing miracles. So it'd be like the difference of, like, you got somebody who's injured, the temporal treatment would be first aid, you know, put some alcohol and a Band-Aid on there, put it in a cast, but a miracle treatment would be just healing them, and all of a sudden their injury is gone. Like, you think of it this way. If you got a paralytic who can't walk, You're not going to anoint him with oil to heal his paralysis, because that anointing someone with oil is not the treatment for paralysis. I mean, there really is no treatment for paralysis. If you're paralyzed, you're paralyzed. Anointing someone with oil, but it's like antibacterial, to put a salve on the skin. So that would be something you do for somebody who you can treat, but you might have to miracle somebody who can't walk. And keep that in mind, because we're talking about healing. We're going to talk about Bethel Church and COVID later. But for now, let's end the Bible chapter review right there, and let's move on to the inbox. Today's question comes from Michael in Texas. Been a while since we've heard from Michael in Texas. If you have a question, you can send it in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com, or dial 470-315-0875. That is 470-315-0875. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Keep your question short enough for me to memorize. Make it about theology or apologetics, and tell me where you're from. And Michael from Texas is asking this. He says, Seth, how would you explain James 1, verses 27, to a new believer or to a lost person? And you can pause the show and read it. So pause, unpause. Now you've read it. And what's it say? I'm going to try to do it from memory. True religion is to look out for widows and orphans in their poverty and keep oneself unstained by the world. So taking care of widows and orphans, that is poor and helpless people, and keeping yourself unstained by the world. So James or Michael is asking, how would you explain keeping yourself unstained by the world to a new believer or a lost person? So to a lost person, I wouldn't even explain it unless he asked me. Because he's lost. He loves the world. He's wallowing in the world stain like a pig wallows in mud. And he cannot live by that standard. He doesn't have true religion. He's got false religion, if he has any religion at all. So if I was trying to disciple a new believer, yes, I would have to explain this. And really, Michael, what I do, as I'd say, the best way to explain Scripture is with other related Scripture. I mean, if you look at the Internet Bible, like BibleGateway.com, there's actually a little footnote. And I'm not telling you the theology. I'm telling you how I would do it, like step by step. This is how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not I'm not telling you why it's good. You click on the little note. There are two little letters, and it will pop up all the verses that talk about, or in the New Testament, maybe not all of them, about living a holy life, about not being conformed to the image of this world, and how you were formerly chasing after the lust of this world, but now you're like this. Those things that contrast it. So I'd go to those other verses that explain it in depth more. But I would also just say, generally, there's the things of the world and what the world cares for, what we lust after, money and sex and power, and then there's the things which we're supposed to give to these widows and orphans. Well, I don't guess we're supposed to give them sex, but instead of seeking power over them and to profit off of them, no, we give them help. We don't want to clutch our money. We give them the charity, and we don't hold power over them. We try to help them, raise them up to have a better life. You always take both parts of the verse. Doing true religion is this. This is what you do. And this, when you're doing this, you're not being stained by the world. So think of all the lusts of the flesh. You were formerly an idolater. You were formerly a fornicator. You don't search after those things. Remember, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You don't look after those things. Those are no longer the things that are of highest value to you. Rather, the will of God, doing the will of God, the works He has planned out for you, are the things of highest value. And I think a great reference would be to go here to the early chapters of Mark, or you could go to Matthew or Luke, wherever you want to find it, and think about the parable of the seed and the soils. And talk about the seed that fell among the thorns. and it never produced anything because it was concerned, the people were concerned over the lust of money. You can't serve two masters, not God and money. You have to serve one. If you lust after what the world cares about, that stains you. Being unstained by the world is being separate. You know, the classic phrase that I always hear said is, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Being stained by the world means you're being of the world, not in it. But you've left behind the flesh and its passions. There's a change in you, and you're putting on the new man. There's a million different biblical ways to say it, Michael. And that's how to explain it to a new person. That Christ has made you new. And the things that you formerly thought were good, which was like be scoring lots of chicks and getting drunk and money and wealth being the highest end. Whereas now wealth becomes a means to support yourself and to give to charity. It's not an end, it's a means. And you don't want to score a bunch of chicks. You want to have one wife and honor her and love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You don't want to seek to be numero uno, a number one. You want to be a servant, just as Jesus came to serve, not be served. The world is not looking to serve and be humble. So that's how I would explain it to a new Christian in order to disciple them. All right, now let's move on to the Alabama pick because Brother William finally sent it in. We're doing things out of order. Brother William is saying Bama 35, Ole Miss 14. Now here's the thing. Brother William, I think he's thinking Alabama is going to have a low score and Ole Miss is going to have a low score. Because it's got that bad thunderstorm. They've moved the game to 6:30 because they have that hurricane down there. Is it Hurricane Delta? It's a good name for a hurricane in Mississippi because they have a Delta. In a cotton picking Mississippi Delta town. Sorry, I had to sing some Charlie Pride. But I don't know. Holding the Lane Kiffin team to 14 points, I'm sure he's got a couple things off his... up his shoulder. Maybe they'll score 20 points or 23 points, Brother William. But Brother William says Alabama 35, Ole Miss 14. And the reason I think Alabama doesn't run more points up on Mississippi, because Mississippi's defense is bad, is because of the bad rainstorm. You can expect a sloppy game with some turnovers and dropped passes and bad passes because of the grip on the ball. If Alabama doesn't run the ball any better than they did last week, it's going to be a close game. But Brother William says Alabama at Oxford, at Vaught Hemingway Stadium, 35-14. And, of course, the Grove, due to COVID, will be sadly empty of its tailgaters and all their spreads and socialness. That's a big deal down there in Mississippi to go to the Grove and tailgate. And that's a fun part of those people's lives in the fall. And I hate to see them miss it. Probably less people will be sinning because they go there and they get drunk on hot toddies. But aside from that, it's nice. I think Mississippi is supposed to be some conservative state full of Baptists. Why is everybody getting drunk on hot toddies? I believe I'll go to the Grove and have a couple hot toddies before we lose another game. Listen, this Ole Miss, that's all they have. They haven't been good in years. Ole Miss hasn't been really a top-tier good team since segregation. If that tells you how long it's been. All right, so that's the pick from Brother William. Out of order. And now let's go to COVID cases at Bethel. You know, when the coronavirus panic and scare first started, I wrote an article, maybe two articles at Pulpit and Pen about how Bethel Church Redding in California, this is the new apostolic reformation church where Bethel music comes from, headed by Bill Johnson, the apostle Bill Johnson, out there in Redding, California. They have healing rooms and they shut their healing rooms down because of COVID concerns. They didn't say it was because of COVID concerns. Like, oh, we scheduled a conference. That's why they're down. Like, you liars. It's because of COVID. And you get the idea, like, these are healing rooms. If somebody in Reading has COVID, they should go there. Because apparently you need a room. So when you look at biblical healing, you see Jesus and the apostles just going out healing people. But at Bethel Church Reading, you've got a room. Come to the room and we're going to do something. Now, they're not limited to the room. They'll actually send people out from their School of Supernatural Ministry. BSSM, the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And this is not an accredited seminary, you know, accredited through ATS or something like that. This is because, hey, freedom of religion, it's America. You can call a church school, you can make it do anything. This is where they teach people to do supernatural ministry. It's not like I went to seminary and learned how to study church history, how to formulate a sermon outline and write a sermon manuscript, how to translate Greek and Hebrew, how to run a small organization. Yeah, I learned all that ministry stuff. But supernatural ministry, oh, they're going to teach you how to heal people and prophesy and cast out demons. It's a supernatural ministry school. Apparently, you have to be trained by these charlatans to do it. Hey, do you know what it's called to charge someone to teach them how to do miracles? There's a name for it. It's called simony. And it's named after Simon the Sorcerer. Remember in Acts, Simon the Sorcerer sees Peter performing miracles, so he wants to become a Christian. He starts following them. And then he asks, hey, how much do I have to pay you to learn how to do this? And Peter says, may your money perish with you. You're trying to buy this. It's not something that you buy and sell. It's not like being mentored under another magician so you can learn how to fool people for a business. This is the real deal. Simony is paying or taking money to teach somebody how to do miracles. I don't know. You call it a school, Bethel, but are you not taking money from the quote-unquote students? So it's already biblically crooked. There it is right there. There's a bad thing from the Bible. They're doing the same thing. You don't teach people how to do miracles. You give them authority. That's what Jesus did. He gave them authority to do miracles. You know who can't do that? Anybody else. Only Jesus can give people authority here on earth to do the miracles. Authority comes from God. It's not a trick to teach somebody. Like Sid Roth teaches people how to speak in tongues. And you sit there, I want to buy a Honda. 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 They really do. So teach people to do it. So as I said a long time ago, it feels like forever ago, when the pandemic, quote-unquote pandemic, just started, they shut down their healing rooms. But now the news has come out that there have been over 100 cases, I think the number is 127, cases of COVID-19 at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Now, granted, they're not dying off like flies. COVID doesn't do anything to almost everybody who has it. This is like a 99.5% survival rate. I ate lunch with someone who had COVID today. I mean, she didn't have it anymore. She had it and she lost her sense of taste, and that was it. I didn't think she really felt that sick. A couple weeks ago, I ate lunch with somebody else that had COVID. He's fine. You know, he doesn't have it anymore, but he was fine the whole time. Three Fridays ago? I think three Fridays ago, I went out, or I didn't go out, I went over to the house of one of my son's friends. My kids were playing over there with her, and we hung out with her parents and a couple of their friends, and those people had caught COVID, and they caught it here at the Church of God. So the local Church of God in Cartersville is called Liberty Square, and a bunch of people caught it from there, and sadly a couple people died. And they said, you know, we were there that night that COVID was spread, because they were having a choir celebration for a retiring music minister, and his daughter lives next door to my mom and dad, and she caught it and her husband caught it. They're all fine. See them walking around, they're okay. And the people I talked to said, yeah, you know, we're walking around hugging everybody's neck and we got it. You know, we lost our sense of taste for a couple of weeks. We're okay. So it's not that this can't happen at any church. And I will point out that the Church of God goes around teaching people that there's these healing gifts and prophetic gifts still. How come y'all's church was the one in my town that got it? Well, I know, stats, bad luck, whatever you want to call it. But at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, listen to this, they'll send people to the hospital to say, we're gonna send a healing team out to the hospital. And the hospital's like, no, please don't send people in here because of COVID. We don't want people spreading COVID. So get this, they had COVID among them. And hey, let's go out healing people at a hospital. Now, they've agreed not to go to the hospitals. Could you imagine being a doctor around Bethel Redding? Number one, Redding, California is not a nice town. It's not a nice place. It's like crime rate and drug type of deal. It's not an affluent city. It's a poor and dangerous city. Imagine being an ER doctor or any kind of doctor in the hospital around there. It's just like people who can't pay their bills, underfunded medical care, just already sad and tragic. And, you know, to compound matters, you have all these nut jobs walking in from the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry to try and heal your patients. Good grief. This would be, I guess, a bigger story if COVID was as deadly as it's cracked up to be. But what it comes down to is people at this stupid school have some flu-like symptoms. But it's a school of supernatural ministry. Why aren't they healing themselves and everybody else with COVID? Why are they having to undergo the same quarantine and social distancing and medical procedures that the rest of us who aren't trained in supernatural ministry by the Apostle Bill Johnson, why do they have to go through the same thing we do? Because it's phony. And when secularists read this in the news, well, they're just going to associate these people with all Christians. They're not going to understand that it is a fringe sect. And by the way, I call it a fringe sect because from a standpoint of who actually goes to church there, it is fringe. But how fringe can it be when their music is in churches everywhere? I've sat in church where they've played a Bethel song before. And I'm going to say something to the music minister if he plays the Bethel song. But there's a lot of churches where people just sit there and sing that stuff. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Yeah, they're just going to sing that Bethel junk. It's popular. So it's super popular music, but it's a fringe way of doing church. I think the people I go to church with would be very uncomfortable in Bethel church. They might even discern Bill Johnson's false teachings from the pulpit. For some reason, many of them can't discern the false teachings in their songs and the relation of those songs to the money-making enterprise that is Bethel. I see this difference because I'm a Christian. It's within my little subculture. And you know, no, they're not in my subculture. I take that back. My subculture is Baptists, like Independent Baptists, Southern Baptists, and maybe some Presbyterians, evangelicals. Those crazy nut jobs, even though they're quote-unquote evangelicals, are not in my subculture. They're nuts. But the world's going to say, oh, that's your subculture. That's the church. Oh, these are the people Donald Trump hangs around with. You know, Election Day is very close. And I was considering this time around voting for Donald Trump because I look at the policies of Biden. They want to raise my taxes and kill babies. No. So there's 0% chance of me voting for you. If it's close, I don't want to be the one who's, oh, I didn't vote for Trump and Biden won. And I've gone through this math a million times. My not voting for Trump is not a vote for Hillary. Only a vote for Hillary is a vote for Hillary. That's what I talked about last time. And again, I don't like to make the show political. But I was thinking about it and I said, you know, the Trump administration is for a strong America. They don't apologize for America. It seems to be a good business environment, less regulation, lower taxes. Regardless of the man running, that's what I'm down with. That's the kind of government I want. And then I think about the kind of Supreme Court justices he has and would appoint. And these seem to be constitutionalists. In other words, strict constructionists, not people who tend to legislate from the bench. Nothing wrecks a country faster, or at least our country, where we're supposed to have a system of checks and balances and a separation of power. Nothing has wrecked us faster than judicial activism. Well, immorality and judicial activism. Was it John Adams who says our form of government was made for immoral and religious people, and what we are neither? Because look at our Barna stats and look at our abortion stats. Don't tell me we're moral and religious in America. We're not. And it shows. But I didn't vote for Trump because I was like, this guy's a liar. He's a liar P-word grabber. You know, grabbing by the wurt-wurt. I'm not voting for that guy. But he's shown over 4 years to do a decent job as president, I thought. And I thought maybe I'll vote for him this time on platform alone. Because I don't agree with all his platform. I'm overspending. If you want to cut taxes, fine. But you also have to cut spending. You're just creating a giant unpayable deficit. So he's not a true conservative, in my opinion. You might even call him a rhino. But... you know, he's not going to get pushed around by other countries. He's proud to be an American for the good reasons it's proud to be an American. He's pro-life, and not as pro-life as I am. But I think I have enough reason to vote for him, but I'm not going to. And here's why. Because he surrounds himself with false teachers like Paula White, people like Bill Johnson. And when the left sees Trump, or when secularists see Trump, they see him surrounding himself by false teachers. Like, and by the way, some of them went to a Rose Garden ceremony. He had Franklin Graham's little prayer get together, and a bunch of them caught COVID. But I see somebody who is platformed by them, and somebody, Trump supports them, and I can't. Now, I know that Trump really doesn't believe in their junk. He's just using them, and they're just using him. I know that. And Trump is lost. I don't expect him to polemicize Paula White the way a Christian would. I do expect that he would be able to discern that people like Paula White and all the prosperity pimps who run around with her and run around with him as spiritual advisors are phony. And I think he does understand they're phony. But I think he relates to them because he's, as a businessman, I think he's the same way. Like, remember Trump University or Trump... Trump University is the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry of Real Estate. It was this rip-off real estate training program. Is that if you can't afford your fees, put them on your credit cards. You're going to make millions. Not guaranteed. And people just went into debt taking these stupid real estate courses through Trump University. It was just a sham. And I really believe it was one of those things like Krusty the Clown. Remember Camp Krusty on The Simpsons a long time ago where... Bart and Lisa went to this summer camp that was supposed to be about Krusty the Clown, but Krusty the Clown just let some unscrupulous people use his name. I think that's how Trump did with Trump University, not making excuses, but he's a guy who markets off his name and a lot of feeling and a lot of show, and he makes millions doing it, and I think that's why he has, affinity or respect, honor among thieves for these prosperity pimps. He's like them in some way. But these people are flat out demonic. And he surrounds himself with demonic people. And I'm sorry, I just can't vote for somebody as much as I want to who surrounds himself with demonic people. Because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are demonic. That goes without saying. Do I have to explain it? And not because they want big government, but it's because they want to kill babies. And, you know, social justice, critical race theory, I mean, all these evil, demonic, unbiblical ways of looking at the world. And you look at somebody like Trump, you surround yourself with demonic false teachers. The devil gets you coming and going. And apparently, they have COVID. at their supernatural ministry school. So guys, be prepared to respond to that. Two ways. Respond to your Pentecostal friends and say, guys, you believe in all this nonsense. Why do your top apostle school peoples have COVID? That's how you deal with your Pentecostal friends and associates. How do you deal with your lost friends? Disassociate, like I said on the previous show. Point back to Jesus. Refocus on evangelism. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again Monday. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.